Welcome again. My name is Moses. Today I want to talk about how can we overcome habitual sin. The sin that has become habit. Your normalization, you have normalized it. You're saying that, no, how can I overcome it? You repent it, it comes again, you repeat it again and again, and again and again and again, and again and again and again. You repent and you do it again, and you repent and you do it again. So that's our question today. How can I overcome a habitual sin? Welcome. The first thing to consider in how to overcome habitual sin is to note the change or transformation that takes place when a person is saved. The Bible describes the natural man as dead in sin and trespasses. Ephesians 2:1. As a result of Adam's fall into sin, a man is born spiritually dead. In this state of spiritual death, man is unable and unwilling to follow and obey God, and habitual sin naturally flows and follows. Natural man sees the things of God as foolishness and hostile towards God. When a person is saved, a transformation takes place. The Apostle Paul refers to this as the new creation. From the moment we place our faith in Christ, we are in the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification is that by which those who are in Christ are conformed by the Holy Spirit into the image of Christ. Conformation. Sanctification in this life will never be fully complete, which means that believers will always struggle with remaining sin. Paul describes this in the battle of sins in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 15 to 25. In that battle, he notes that even though he desires to do what is good in the eyes of God, he often does what is evil instead. He does the evil he doesn't want to do and falls to the good that he wants to do. Fails to do the good he wants to do. In this, he is describing every Christian struggle with sin. James says we are all sin in many ways. He describes that we all sin in many ways. Experience tells us that we struggle differently with sin. Perhaps one sin being more of a tripling point of one believer than another. For some, it might be anger, whereas for others, it is gossip or lying. We might refer to a sin that is particularly difficult for us to overcome as besetting sin or a habitual sin. These besetting sins are often but not exclusively habits that we develop during our lives as unbelievers and require more grace and discipline to overcome. Part of the process of overcoming these habitual or besetting sins is in recognizing this transformation that has indeed taken place within the believer. Paul writes, "So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." When Paul says, "Consider yourselves dead to sin," he is telling us to remember that in coming to Christ, the power of sin has been broken in our lives. He uses the metaphor of slavery to make this point. We were at one time slaves to sin, as now we are slaves to righteousness. At the cross, the power of sin was broken. And in becoming Christians, we are set free from sin's mastery over us. Therefore, when a Christian sins, it is no longer out of the necessity of his nature, but because he has willfully submitted himself to sin's dominion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The next part of this process is recognizing our inability to overcome habitual sin and our need to rely on the power of God, God's Holy Spirit, who dwells within us. Back to Romans 7, Paul says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." Verse 18. The Christian struggle against sin is one of which our ability does not match our desire. That is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul later says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The Holy Spirit, through God's word, works sanctification in the people of God. Habitual sin is overcome as we submit ourselves to God and refuse the temptations of the flesh. Then remember the book of James chapter 4 verse 7, the Bible says that resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Then get close to Jesus or to God and he will come close to you. Another part of the process of overcoming habitual sin is to change the habits that facilitate it. We have to adopt the attitude of Joseph, who, when tempted by Potiphar's wife to come to bed with her, left the room so quickly that he left his cloak in her hands. Yes, he left the cloak or his cloak in her hands. We simply must make every effort to run from the things that tempt us to sin, like Joseph did in the book of Genesis chapter 39 verse 15, including access to food that we are given to overreacting, and access to pornography if we are tempted to sexual sin. Jesus tells us to cut off our hand or pluck out our eye if they offend us. This means removing from our lives the things that tempt us to sin, even when those are the things that we enjoy. In short, we have to change the habits that lead to habitual sin. Finally, the last but not least, we have this. Listen. Finally, we need to immerse in our truth of the gospel. We need to immerse ourselves in the truth of the gospel. The gospel is not only the means by which we are saved, but it's also the means by which we are sanctified day by day. If we think that we are saved by grace, but sanctified by our own efforts, we fail into a great error. Sanctification is as much a work of God as justification. The promise we have from Scripture is that he who began a good work in us will complete it on that day. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He who started a good work in us will complete it in that last day. So the work was started It is being done. It is underway. It will be accomplished, or it will be completed on that day. May God bless you once again. My name is Moses, and thank you so much for taking the time to listen to my live podcast. Hallelujah. Glory to God.